Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. This is the Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. I'm your host, pop art painter Jamie Rocks, and this is the big show. You found it. I'm glad you did. I'm excited today. Today is a good day on many levels, and first and foremost with the show here, we've got a fantastic guest. He's a singer-songwriter from Southern California. Well, he's in Southern California now, and he's called in. His name is Michael Isaac. He's an indie folk southern singer-songwriter. Without further ado, I'd like to welcome him. Hi, Michael. How are you?
Thanks so much for having me, James. I really appreciate it. I'm doing great today.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Anytime. That's good to hear. Man, I tell you, I really liked I'm a big fan of your music. It is fantastic. Now, I know you you just dropped your EP, debut EP, and that's pretty exciting, you know, pretty exciting. And you just played a couple weeks ago your first show of 2024, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, no, so the EP was, like, definitely, like, a very awesome journey. I started writing it, like, almost 2 years ago, so it was definitely a lot of a lot of stuff in the works for a while, and so it's definitely great for it to be at to be out in the world, and yeah, and then we got to celebrate with an awesome show at the Echo, which is a venue I've always, like, dreamed of playing. So that was super awesome.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Now, Michael, one of the things I wanted to get into when talking to you is you're a first generation Egyptian American. You're an ethnic guy. So that what that means, ladies and gentlemen, is Michael has ethnic parents, and Michael decided he wants to be a singer-songwriter. My day job, Michael, is I'm a painter. Been doing that for about 20 years, portrait painter, and my engineer father wasn't thrilled with that decision when I let him know that's what I was going to be doing. How did your parents react?
Yeah, so I was, before I started pursuing music, I was an undergrad student at Princeton, and I was actually on the pre-medicine track. And then, I was like, I want to take a leave of absence, and I want to just explore music. Like, I'm really not sure what I want to do yet, and so I think I have all this, like, really, like, great creative energy that I really feel like I should foster. And, my parents were really, it took them a minute, but they're super supportive. I'm super lucky.
That's cool.
I don't think most Egyptian parents would be like them. So, it's cool. Especially when I encounter, like, other Middle Eastern people in the arts, it's very it's very fun and very cool. I just started reading this book called If an Egyptian Cannot Speak English. It's by Noor Naga, and she's like an Egyptian American author, and I'm like, this is so crazy that she's like we need more, like, Middle Eastern people and Egyptian people, like, in the arts.
It's super important. I'm Native American, and it's the same thing. I think it's the same thing with any, it seems to me, in my experience, I'm an old man, but, you know, every culture that, isn't the dominant one, all of our parents and grandparents just seem to be overachievers, and, they had a plan, and they go for it. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not putting that down at all. But for us in the arts, it gets a little iffy sometimes. But man, pre-med, were you undergraduating? So I mean, you had a, did you have a trajectory? Did you have an idea of the branch of medicine you were thinking about getting into?
I mean, I was always interested in mental health, and I still am. So I think I was like planning on going more of like the mental health like psychiatry route. But
I gotcha.
I like discovered kind of down the line that like there's a lot of things you can do in mental health, and I think specifically like for music and mental health, and that's kind of the stuff I've been exploring. Like
that's
while I've been
true.
On my leave, and like it's really great like how much music can contribute to people's mental health. And so I've been helping out with research at USC this year, and so I'm helping out with like a project on using music for Alzheimer's research and all this like amazing
nice.
Stuff that I think I wouldn't have been exposed to this if I was still just like taking basic science classes at school. So yeah.
I gotcha. I just watched a YouTube, you know, since the pandemic, YouTube is my primary entertainment now. I watch a ton of YouTube anyway. And all this crazy stuff, but I like to watch stuff that, you know, I don't know. I was working this morning. I was watching a whole thing about Pangea. Yeah, that's how exciting my life is. No, the other day I watched one, where they were doing, I don't know, they were doing something on some guy. They were working on his brain, and in order for them to see what was going on, he was still, I guess he had a local, but he was still conscious. He was awake, and they were having him, he was a guitar player, and he was playing the guitar, and they're like, oh, yeah, that shows us this and that. You know, it was a help. Definitely a good correlation there. Interesting.
Totally.
Interesting.
It's super cool stuff.
Well, that's cool, man. That's cool. And so then, so you said, well, Princeton, getting cold. It's October. I'm heading back to L.A. Got to get out of this cold. And away you went. That is cool, man. How long, let me ask you this, because it's putting out an EP, doing anything, that's a big deal, though. That is a big deal. I don't think a lot of people realize you don't just, you know, go to the garage one weekend and say, I'm going to do an EP this weekend. That's what I'm going to do. I mean, there's a lot to it. And, you get into mastering and all that kind of stuff. Was this a long process from conception to promotion where you are now?
Totally. Yeah, it was a very long process. I think it was like it was worth every like minute and second of it. I
got you.
Like, before. Yeah, I didn't even, like, have the intention of, like, making an EP. It was the summer after I took a leave. So, like, it was literally, like, right after I took a leave from school. And I just started writing, like, crazy. And then I stumbled on, like, I don't know, it's crazy. Like, I don't even really remember the process of writing them. It suddenly, they just kind of appeared. I felt, like, I don't know.
You channeled them. That's amazing.
Yeah, so
the muse was upon you.
Yeah, it was great. I still don't really know how to replicate that experience with like any new music I'm working on today, but so I wrote like four songs that I think they were Hey Boy. Hey Boy was the first one I wrote actually. And then Plain
Great
Thoughts,
song.
The last one. Yeah. And so
okay.
those were the first two that I wrote. And then I was kind of seeing this theme of, you know, past selves versus future selves and anxiety about the future and wanting to leave the past behind. And a lot of concepts of like your own coming of age story and your perception of time. And I think that's kind of what was driving the rest of that project. So I took a lot of time to like really conceptualize it and make sure the songs were like finished before I even like started producing them. And so then it was like 6 months into the process of like just finished writing them. And then at that point, it was January 2023, and that's when I officially started producing it. And so I initially
okay.
had this grand idea of, like, wanting to do the whole thing on my own, mixing, mastering, everything. And so I did get a little stuck, and that's when I enlisted the help of, like, this awesome producer named Owen Korzek, and then we ended up co-producing the rest together. And,
nice.
Yeah, and then it took us about 4 months to finish the rest, and then it went into mastering. And then it was finished by August, but it was all of the, you know, pitching the playlist and making sure, like, the EP is going to have a place to live in when it comes out, and it's not just going to be, like, you know, pushed into the, like, the ether. So,
right.
Yeah, there was a lot of planning that took me, like, 4 months. So putting out 2 singles and then sending out a bunch of emails, pitching, doing all of that stuff, which was also fun because you get to, like, talk about the experience of writing your songs and, like, what they're about, and you get to, like, sell them, which is – it can be, like, annoying, but I find it kind of fun to write the pitches.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, and then January we had the final release date, and it was, like, surreal because I was working on it for so long that I was like, I can't believe it's, like, finally here. Like, this is crazy. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And for those who aren't in the music business or creative world or whatnot, you know, one of the civilians out there listening, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. Because I hear this and it's because I have the podcast, and we have a lot of music guests on and whatnot. And every time I'm at a dinner party, somebody makes the same joke. They think they're funny. They're like, well, I don't know why the Rolling Stones are still on tour. They've got more money than, you know, whoever. And I'll tell you, I'll give you a little insight into the creative mind, and especially music, well, all artists, but musicians are fond of this too. The reason the Rolling Stones are on tour is not because of the money. They're already famous. They're already rock stars. It's not ego-driven like that. There is something completely addictive and something that is just so impossible to explain to somebody not in the creative world. The feeling you get when somebody digs what you're doing, they get your work. They understand it. There's no better feeling. And that's why they're on stage at 80 years old or however old they are. And I can tell by talking to Michael when he's talking about the release party and having it done. It's just cool, man. It is just cool when somebody digs what you're throwing down, you know? No better feeling, Michael. Would you agree?
It's true. Yeah, I totally agree. I think for a while, like, I didn't really, like, I thought, like, you just put music out and then, you know, maybe people will find it. But I think when it started to click for people was, I think, my single Okay With This, which I did a lot of, like, pushing on TikTok and sending it to everybody I know and doing as much as I can to really have it be shown the light of day. And the way that, like, people resonated with it and, you know, having people cover it and make videos of it on TikTok and stuff like that is just so amazing. That you were, like,
that's
able
so cool.
to make something that somebody else can relate to and can resonate with, like, that's just such a valuable experience. I think it's really like,
man.
That
is so cool. That is so cool. And, you know, it's interesting because you're an interesting cat. You're an interesting fellow. You know, you're like I said, first generation Egyptian American. My notes here. It says you were raised in a religious household. I don't know much specifically about the Egyptians, you know, contemporary Egyptians. I know a little bit about ancient Egyptians just from art school. But, you're walking that path of tradition and contemporary. I get that. I understand that, man. And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Listen to this cool episode ad-free. If you're a VIP member, you can become one on my website, www.jamierocks.us. www.jamierocks.us.
Metal Babe Mayhem is more than just an online store, it's a destination. MetalBabeMayhem.com carries over 150 rock and roll products, including clothing, jewelry, and accessories. Metal Babe Mayhem also offers shrine clothing and alchemy gothic jewelry. In addition, Metal Babe Mayhem founder Allison Metal Babe Cohen is a rock and roll journalist who supports local and national artists with rockin' reviews, interviews, playlists, networking, and more. Metal Babe Mayhem is taking over the world, one shirt at a time.
My Love Shack Apothecary online shop has everything you need to build a special gift for yourself or someone who needs a little pampering. I hand make all of the products in small batches using only plant-based ingredients and therapeutic-grade essential oils. Whether you choose one of my curated sets or want to build a custom gift set, My Love Shack Apothecary has everything you need to send a little sunshine to someone today. Please visit us online at www.loveshackapothecary.com. That's www.loveshackapothecary.com, as well as online on Instagram and Facebook. Links are in our website.
Support for this podcast comes from the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center, ranked one of the top cancer centers in the nation for the last 27 years. The doctors at MD Anderson treat more rare cancers in a single day than many physicians see in a lifetime, and treatment plans are tailored to an individual patient's needs, allowing more comprehensive and thorough care. To become a patient, please visit makingcancerhistory.com.
Aloha. If you have stress in your life or even anxiety and panic, I want to invite you to the Anxiety Coaches Podcast for a way out. The Anxiety Coaches Podcast is a relaxing and inspiring show bringing you lifestyle changes to calm your nervous system and help you heal. Heal anxiety, panic, and PTSD for life. We bring you 2 episodes every week. There's no need to walk this path alone. Join us for a relaxing, informative, and inspiring time and start your journey out of anxiety panic. That's anxietycoachespodcast.com. Aloha.
Rocks Gear, the online web shop of high-end luxury merchandise and products, all featuring original pop art paintings. From La Jolla to Miami to London, www.merch.jamierocks.us.
You know, everybody, I lived, before I went away to school, I grew up in Detroit, Michigan, and one of the places I could afford, it wasn't a bad place, it wasn't the hood, was a suburb of Detroit called Dearborn. And it was it's like 80% Muslim American, Muslim folks, And so I was immersed. I was surrounded in that culture. I don't know how close that culture relates to contemporary Egyptian culture. But some of my friends at that time, their folks were pretty hardcore. You know, there wasn't a lot of messing around. How was your home life,
yeah.
Michael? Is it very strict or?
Well, I mean, so I grew up in the Coptic church, so I'm like part of the like small portion of Egyptians that are Coptic Christian. So the community, like my parents were more chill, but the community like at church was like more strict. So
I gotcha.
You kind of had this idea that like you couldn't really, even though like in my opinion, I feel like if you believe in God, then you should have a personal relationship with God. But I feel like in the Coptic church, it was, I always consistently felt that like there was an idea of God that like I was supposed to like follow. Like I couldn't have my own perception of God. Like there was like the God that they like told you. And I always felt that was like not very consistent with, you know, like I think contemporary culture in general, and also just like everybody's individual experiences, you know, with being good and having one's own morals and all of that. And so I think I often kind of like, I didn't like actively clash, but like internally I felt a little bit of like, I love the Coptic church personally. Like whenever I go to church, it feels like a really nostalgic experience because it just reminds me of my childhood. But as far as like the ideology itself, it's sometimes like, I sometimes feel like I'm at kind of a crossroads with some of the ideology, but, My home life was very good though.
That's awesome. Yeah. That is fantastic. We had some fundamentalist people that lived across. I rented this apartment, the second story. It was one of those old houses they made into different apartments. And the second floor was my apartment. And across the street was some fundamentalist people that were very, very hardcore. I can't think of any other term. And I mean no disrespect to anybody or whatnot. But I would see certain things. And, you know, here's the thing, Michael, I'm a painter, and I'm pretty bleeding heart. I'm pretty liberal when it comes to most things, you know, and open-minded, and hey, everything's cool, and, it's all good. There were some parts of their particular household that, and their culture, I won't blanket everybody, I'm just saying those individuals, that it was hard to be open-minded and liberal sometimes. You know, it made me question my own self. I'm like, I don't know if I'm that open-minded with this, you know. But the cool thing is I grew as a person, you know what I mean? And I didn't dislike these people. It was just their experience was so foreign to mine. You know, people are different. People take all kinds and all that. And it was very cool. But I get it, man. I'm telling you, tradition and stuff, like I said, I'm Native American. Everybody thinks that, you know, I can find my way through the forest or, you know, if the plane goes down and I'm on the plane, I'm going to be making them a fire and getting a rabbit or something. I don't know what I'm saying, you know. But I imagine, you know, you probably get the same shit, you know. And you just smile. And I do a lot of smiling and nodding sometimes. Depends on the situation. But, you know, hell, you're doing it, man. You're doing it. You're making it happen. You got the EP out. You've got your singles going. You've got Hey Boy has a great lyric video. That's a really well-done video. I'm pretty impressed with that, you know?
Thank you so
much. You're just living the dream? Yeah.
Yeah.
You got the coolest job in the world, man. You know? How about that?
Yeah, it's really like I'm so thankful for like the opportunity to get to like take time off school and, you know, still have the opportunity to go back and spend this time to really like focus on a passion and continue that passion too in the future. Like, I think this year and this leave was like really just kind of like the foundation, and now everything else is, you know, coming next, you know? So it feels really good. I feel really, really happy with what I've done this year.
And Michael, brains aren't going anywhere. You can always come back if you want to. I mean, you might be working with an AI brain, but that's okay. You know, just put in a good word for it and we'll all be good. I'm teasing. Don't send me emails, people, please. Oh my gosh, it was a joke. People get touchy about AI today. You know, it's, you bring it up.
And yeah.
People freak out. Fear the unknown, I think.
I think so as well. It is scary. Like, I can see why people are afraid, especially like in music too. Like, I feel like big artists are like afraid of people like stealing their voice or like doing all that stuff.
Right. And it's weird, the deep fakes and stuff. That is some shocking stuff what they can do. It's you know, I don't know. As a painter, people always ask, well, are you worried about these AI art? I'm like, no, I'm not. It hasn't been able to come up with the idea. I can still do that, so that's good. If I was a graphic designer, I absolutely would be concerned because,
Totally, totally.
It's pretty sad. I don't know, though, but AI, it's an addictive tool. I don't know if you personally used any of this stuff. I found a little program that creates hashtags. So when I'm listing my paintings on eBay, I'm like, because I'm always like spending 30 minutes because I'm older than you are. You grew up with phones and hashtags and all that kind of stuff. It's hard for me, but this little program makes it so much easier. I just pop it in there, spits a bunch out. I'm like, thank you. And they work. So, you know. I'm addicted
That's
to it.
Great.
I can see where people get addicted to it. Let me ask you this.
I've messed around. Oh, sorry. Go for it.
No. Finish your thought.
I was going to say, like, I've messed around with the Photoshop AI, like the generative fill thing, which is super cool. Like, what I've actually used is, I use it for, like, I bet I could have done this just using Photoshop, but at the time I didn't really have any Photoshop skills. So I used Generative Fill on one of my single covers for OK With This to expand just the white background behind it. I was like, I don't know how to, like, fill in the shadows to, like, make it look real. So I just, like, zoomed out and just said expand. And then it worked. So I was like, this is great. I mean, like, I feel like for things like that, it's great. If I asked it to make my whole album cover, I think that would be a different story. But, things, I think it's great.
I remember many years ago, and again, I'm an old man, so I remember mid-90s, I needed some press pictures taken that were white background so they could take out the white and then put me wherever they wanted to put me in ads and stuff. And it was a big ordeal. I had go to a photographer, and they had this like sheet things that came down, and it wasn't cheap. And it was a whole afternoon of all these different pictures with just a white background. And now, like you said, you just run it through a computer, does it for you, and
it
doesn't cost
great.
You anything. You know, I'm like, yeah. Oh, everybody under 30 that's seen my my different flyers for like my blog and stuff, they're like, yeah, Jamie, we get it. Every day you put your picture, you're at Stonehenge one day, you're in front of the Great Pyramid the next. I'm like, yeah, it's fun. You know? True.
It is fun.
I do it. Oh,
yeah.
Man.
I love graphic design. Like, I'm not like crazy good at like Photoshop and everything like that. But when it comes to like making my show posters and stuff like that, it's just so fun and addicting. I just can't stop.
Yeah. And why pay somebody to do it, man? That's the thing. Studio time ain't cheap. All the pennies have to go for that.
It's true.
That's the thing that people don't get, they you know, my musician friends, when they go in the studio, what the big thing that non-musicians don't get, when you go in the studio, they don't just, okay, hang out till something happens. Well, you can, but understand the meter is running. It's like being in a taxi cab. Every second you're in there is money, you know, and it can go pretty quick. Oh, man. Now, did you have enough to do the whole project, or did you have to take breaks and, like, raise more money to get more of it done? That's always a drag.
So we kept it, like, very bare bones. So, like,
okay.
I was basically working out of my bedroom, and so was my producer Owen was working out of his home studio as well, and we were just kind of sending stems back and forth. So we actually didn't do any real studio time. I think for my next project, I'd really like to have a studio project, but for this one, like, we didn't actually spend any money on studio time. The only thing that I was paying for is like Owen's work as a producer, and then
I gotcha.
Other session players that we had come in. But yeah, other than that, like, we didn't have to pay anything for studio time, which was great. Especially, like, we spent so many hours, like, working on it, that would have racked up a huge tab. So, yeah.
Well, I'm telling you, man, because things can get out of hand. It is so great to have a home studio, because here's the thing. When you wake up at 1 in the morning or something with a brilliant idea, you can stumble over to the studio and just get it down, you know? when you have to leave the house and go somewhere, hopefully they have space for you. You know what I mean? It's a drag.
It's true.
Well, that's I'm telling you. I'm telling you, Michael, I had a – oh, go ahead. Finish your thought, and I'll tell you a crazy story.
Okay. I was going to say, too, like, when it's in your own room or your own home, it's, like, I feel like it's more conducive to creativity as well, because it's, like, you can hang up,
absolutely,
you know, pictures of, like, your friends,
mm-hmm,
your childhood, and, like, it, you're just surrounded by all the things that make you comfortable, which is, like, the most important thing for being creative, in my opinion.
Absolutely. I'm working on a painting. It's 1 in the morning. I'm putting on Michael Isaac, getting me in the mood, you know. That's what's happening. I'm telling you, Michael, when I got out of school, I moved to San Diego, and I opened a gallery/studio, and it quickly turned into Andy Warhol's factory, and it was full of people. There were bands rehearsing in there, just people all the time. It was so impossible to get any work done, you know? I don't know how Warhol did it, because I couldn't do it. Not like I do now, you know? All those distractions, geez, it was crazy. It's crazy. But the cool thing now is, you know, your EP is a product of that, you know, of getting it done, focus, and making it happen. And I think that's just wicked cool, you know. Seriously, you got to be so proud, you know. We have two tracks, Michael. We've got Hey Boy and Backfired. What do you think we should play first for the folks out there?
I think we should start with Hey Boy. I think I made it the first track of the EP because it is a good introduction into kind of like who I am. I think it really serves a good purpose as an intro to Michael Isaac.
Absolutely. Here it is, everybody. This is Michael Isaac, Hey Boy. Check it out.
I'm sick.
And there we go, folks. That was Hey Boy, Michael Isaac. Fantastic, fantastic. Now, these are all out, right, Michael? They can, people can get this. It is available right now.
People can stream it on Spotify or Apple Music or YouTube. Or on Bandcamp, you can actually buy a physical CD, which is super awesome. So if you want to do that, you can go to bandcamp.com/Michael Isaac and you can get yourself a CD.
That's fantastic, man. That is cool. That is cool. Yeah, Bandcamp, I like Bandcamp. It's a good service. It's dependable. It's been around forever. And they do good work, you know, continuously. I like that. You know, I like working with. Oh man, I'm telling you.
I know it's crazy.
In my time on the. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. It's crazy how, how much we rely on technology, and then how like unreliable technology is. So it is nice that Bandcamp is always reliable.
Yeah, and it's never down. You know, that's the thing. Well, nothing makes me madder. You will never see me more on the warpath when I'm paying for a service and it ain't working. Oh, my gosh.
Mm.
The pet peeve. You can cut me off in traffic and I will have less of a reaction than paying for something that ain't happening. That annoys me. I work too hard for my money. You know? Everybody does. Everybody does. And there's a trust, you know, that you have in that type of transactional relationship of okay, I paid for this, it better work, you know. That's where I'm coming from. Well, Hey Boy, it's out. People are digging it. How are you reacting to such great reaction to Hey Boy?
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Listen up, Buttercup. It's time to get off your ass, grab some weights, and get back in shape. But what's going to be different this time? You're going to sign up with the Body app. That's Body with an I. You know Body for P90X and hundreds of proven programs that get you ripped. And they're all here on the app, along with great new programs and all the nutrition and supplements you need to nail your routine. And right now, if you sign up for a one-year subscription to Body, you'll save 65%. And the Body app rocks. CNN underscore just rated Body the best fitness app, so you know it works. Will it be tough? Heck yeah. But this is the structure you need to get the gains you want. And Body stands behind your results. If you don't lose 5 to 10 pounds in your first 30 days, you don't pay. Now here's the deal. Body wants to help you get moving. If you are one of the next 500 people who sign up for a year of Body, you'll save 65%. All you have to do is go to body.com, get your 65% off, and get started today. That's bodywithani.com.
Listen to this cool episode ad-free. If you're a VIP member, you can become one on my website, www.jamierocks.us. www.jamierocks.us.
Hey rockers, this is Stacey Lane Wilson, author and editor of the Rock and Roll Nightmares book series. I have a new podcast that features interviews with musicians, artists, authors, filmmakers, and music historians. In season one, I interview Phil Soussan from Ozzy Osbourne's band, Scott Crawford, the director of the Cream magazine documentary, Lisa S. Johnson, the award-winning author and photographer of the books 108 Rockstar Guitars and Immortal Axes, just to name a few. The Rock and Roll Nightmares podcast explores the dark and mysterious and sometimes funny side of music from the 60s, 70s, 80s, and beyond. Enjoy on RSS or anywhere you like to listen to podcasts.
Glittering amethyst, energizing citrine, colorful fluorite, the other side of the sun, Earth's treasures brought to light. Since 1999, we have offered a unique collection of hand-selected minerals and gems for every budget, for novices, collectors, and healers. visit www.tosots.com to view our wide selection of offerings and use coupon code ROCKS, that's R-O-X-X, for 10% off your first order. Remember, TOSOTS.com, Earth's treasures brought to light.
Hi, folks. Jamie Rocks here. Hey, if you're a big fan of cool historical books like me, then you're going to want to check out our newest show sponsor, Michelle Albion. Fantastic author. She's got some really interesting, cool books out that you're going to want to check out. I'm a big fan of all of these. The Florida Life of Thomas Edison, The Quotable Edison, Quotable Henry Ford, Quotable Eleanor Roosevelt, and, of course, The Quotable Amelia Earhart. Michelle's just very keen and very, very cool, and these are just very cool books. So check out her website. There's links to where you can pick these up on Amazon and Barnes & Noble all over the place. MichelleAlbion.com, MichelleAlbion.com, MichelleAlbion.com. Very, very cool stuff. Check it out, folks.
I love it. I didn't expect the reaction to be the way it was. I think the one thing I was, like, worried about a little bit is that because it's Hey Boy, it's very much, like, it's very much, like, tailored to my own experience and my own self, really. But to see people that relate to that is great, because I always introduce it as a letter to my younger self. But here, what this reaction has been telling me is, like, it's been a letter to everybody's inner child, and I think that's great. Yeah, so, like, my bass player, I have a four-piece band right now, and I have my friend Siren on bass, and she's always like, what if you just said, like, hey girl, next time, and I'm like, yeah, maybe. It's nice, though. I mean, like, it is my experience, but people, you know, you can all relate to it, which is great.
Absolutely. And things are a little different too. I think people are a little more, especially with your generation, younger generation, you know, people aren't hung up on nonsense and stuff like that, like my generation was. Oh my gosh. It was, you know, one of the things I really like about people of your age, is your openness to all types of music. You're not genre specific. Like my generation, people used to get in fist fights, man. It's like, thought you were a rocker. What are you doing listening to hip hop or whatever, you know? And, you know, they get all bent out of shape about it. And they would tie music genre to their identity. It was the weirdest thing. I don't see that with the younger people. I look at younger people's playlists and I'm like, wow, we're all over the place. That's cool. They just like, what that tells me is they like good music, you know?
Totally. Yeah, like I have a playlist where it's just like I have a playlist and it'll be like a random jump. So it'll be like Elliott Smith and then the next song will be like SZA. And I think that's like the funniest jump ever, because those two artists are like complete opposite. But they're both great songwriters and they both inspire me. And so I think like I agree with you. I feel like my generation, I think a lot of my friends are musicians, and so a lot of us just have appreciation for like all kinds of music, and we'll be going to all these different shows and seeing all these different people. So yeah.
And you've grown up with streaming, you know what I mean? You've grown up with streaming. My generation's first taste of streaming, you know, we got a little taste of it, and then we destroyed the music industry called Napster. Yes, folks, my generation was responsible for the downfall of the music industry. They'll tell you it was the big record labels, but the record labels weren't stealing as much as we were, and that's very true. At least we own it. But,
It's funny because, like, It's funny because I've been like when me and my brother were growing up, like streaming came out when we were in middle school. So before that, it was like you have your iPod, and your iPod you buy music on iTunes. But what we would do is, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but we would use like YouTube.
Yeah, don't get yourself in trouble. Allegedly, he did. He knew people. He had heard of people. The town over.
We would load like YouTube videos onto our like MP3 players,
yeah.
And that's kind of how we would do it. Or we just
listen to
the radio. I feel like I have a cool little mix of like, and I used to listen to CDs, but like my parents used to play CDs for me like when I was a baby. So like I feel like I have a good little mix of like the physical to radio to streaming economy, kind of like that whole transition. I feel like I grew up through it.
Absolutely. You could always tell when somebody had done that with their iPad because like they'd play Madonna. Like we would be at a party and invariably at a party, somebody thought they were a DJ, not just a DJ, a superstar DJ. And so they would take over somebody's laptop and start playing their iPod list or whatever. And you could tell they had done that because in the middle of the Madonna track, Madonna would, you know, come out, start saying something, talking that only happened in the video, you know, that wasn't the way it was on the album. And so you're like, you know, okay, we know where you got that from. But nobody cared. It's not like we shamed them or anything. We just dealt with it. Very cool. Tell us a little bit about Batfire. That's the next single we're going to play. Is it out too now? Or is it coming out?
Yeah. The whole EP is out. So both those songs are all out. Backfired is interesting. I wanted my EP to follow kind of like a story arc in a way. And so backfired for this project was kind of like the inciting incident or like the, you know, that little thing that kind of starts the rising action of like what prompted me to make the EP or like what prompted all of these themes. And so I think Backfired, you get a lot of existential kind of like really moody lyrics from me. And I think the point is because you have this protagonist who's kind of like lost in the world in this process of coming of age. And he's trying to figure it out, but he's just so scared. And so I think Backfired is that kind of embodiment of that like, you know, scared little kid is not ready for the next step and is just trying to break through. It's a really interesting track. It was definitely a fun one to make too. It was a fun one to produce. All of the guitar layers, all of the like little percussion stuff was super fun. So yeah.
Nice. Well, here it is, everybody. This is Michael Isaac, Backfired. we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. That was Michael Isaac Backfired. That is a great track, Michael. I really dig all that percussion and all those guitar flourishes and whatnot. Very, very cool. Very good stuff.
Thank you. Yeah, something cool I love doing on guitar, too, is, like, I might write something in a specific tuning, and then I'll add a different layer in a different tuning, and then you'll just get
nice.
A whole other voicing of the chords, and it sounds great. Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. And what'll happen, what you realize you're doing, I don't know if you remember doing this, when you were a kid and you'd listen to, like, you'd hear some cool guitar, part of a song, you're like, oh, I want to learn how to play that. And then you start breaking it down, trying to play it, and somebody's done that, and they're like, well, I can't play all six parts at the same time. What the hell? Tearing your hair out. No, you can't.
That's true. Or like Bohemian Rhapsody, trying to sing like all the parts of Bohemian Rhapsody. That happened several times.
At the same time, yeah. Like, oh man, I wonder if like classical musicians, like people at Berkeley and stuff, if they're like trying to do that with like Beethoven or Chopin or something. Like, I can't, no. It's 217 instruments. You cannot play them all. They probably do try to, though.
I bet that's like their homework or something.
Exactly. Come back tomorrow and know all the cello parts and the French horn. Crazy, man, crazy. So I want to let people know we have links up on our show page, and these links stay active, folks. So when this is convert, you know, as we convert all the episodes to podcasts when we finish, so people can listen to them wherever and whenever. But these links follow the podcast, so they stay active. So if you're in the future, hello from the past, listening to the podcast here, michaelisaac.us. I love it, Michael. I love it. U.S. Domain name. I have one myself for my website. And I'm telling you, the only reason this is a funny story, Michael. This is a funny story. Many, many years ago, I had a jamierocks.com. And I decided to go to San Francisco for the weekend, and I didn't get the email that it was needed to be renewed, and they didn't give you a big grace period in those days. And somebody bought it. They bought it up and then tried to sell it to me, resell it back to me. And they're like, well, I'm like, how much you want? And they're like, $4,000. I'm like, nope. .us,
oh,
$20 a year. I'll take it. And it's been so long. Because I check it every so often, and it's available now. Mm. I could buy it for $20, but then I'm like, I'd have to change everything. I don't want to. The brand's already established, you know. So, yes, Michael Isaac, everybody, .us. What were you saying, Michael?
Yeah, .us. Oh, I was going to say, like, I had the same issue where, like, michaelisaac.com was bought already, but it's, like, some guy that, like, hasn't uploaded anything to the website and, like, 7 years
right.
or something, and I'm like, oh,
exactly.
But it's okay. I like .us.
I do too. Makes you sound more international, you know. That's at least that's what I tell myself. And of course, we've got Michael's Instagram, his TikTok, and you've got a lot of people on TikTok and whatnot. Are you a TikToker? Do you promote like post to TikTok pretty consistently?
I do. It's actually, so I'm getting back into it now, but I needed like a little break after the EP came out. Like I was making daily videos and then once the EP was out and people were kind of like just listening to it, I'm like, let's all just like meditate and I'll take a break from TikTok for a while. And then now I'm not posting, but yeah, I've been pretty consistent over the past year and a half or so since like December, 2022. So yeah, it's a long process, but I'm glad I have kind of a community on there.
That's fantastic. People always ask me, they're like, Jamie, you have the weirdest dreams, you know, that influence your paintings and stuff, you know, because they're like, where do you have that idea for that one? I'm like, some weird dream I had. And they're like, how do you have these weird dreams? And I'm like, because of TikTok. And they're like, you're on TikTok? I'm like, no, I'm not. But I go to sleep every night next to my wife. And she's on her phone watching weird TikTok videos, And I think it seeps into my subconscious or something, just hearing it.
That's,
you know,
really funny.
The weird. Yeah, it's very true. Every night. And she watches weird stuff, Michael. Weird. The other night, it was making this weird noise. I'm like, what the heck are you watching? I rolled over. I'm like, what are you watching? She's like, oh, it's really interesting. It's TikTok videos of a guy opening oysters to get the pearls out.
I was literally just watching that video. I was like, watching weird videos. I was gonna cite that exact video. I was watching it the other day, and it was just a mesmerizing video of how he was opening the oyster. I loved it.
Yeah, I'm telling you. She's into that stuff, man. She watched for a while. She was hooked on these Russian guys that were cleaning rugs, like Russian rugs. they clean them, power wash them. I'm like, really? An hour and a half of that you've been watching? She's like, yeah. Very soothing. Okay. We got a rug. We got a power washer. No, I don't want to do it, Jamie. I want to watch it on TikTok. Anyway, folks, we also have links to Michael's YouTube page and SoundCloud. And if you go to Michael's website, michaelisaac.us, there's links to all the Spotify and all that on there as well. Very, very cool. You're an Instagram fella, I assume.
Yeah, I am on Instagram as well. Yeah, I do. I do a lot on Instagram.
Nice. That's cool, man. You got to do it. It's part of it now.
Now it's part of the gig. 50% of the whole job.
Yeah, I'm telling you. You have to. But, you know, it's promotion, you know, that's how you keep the lights on and stuff. It's just part of the job. It used to be in the old days, they would have a whole team that did all this stuff. Not anymore. And I think it's better even, you know, because it keeps you in touch. One of the cool things about your generation as musicians is you guys are so in touch with your fans. There's a direct connection there, you know, that my generation did not have. If we wanted to learn about some band, we had to read about it in a magazine or in the liner notes of an album. And that was a drag, you know. I think it's cool that you you probably have fans all over the world, I imagine, right?
Yeah, I would say on TikTok at least, like, a majority of them are in the U.S. Like, a good 86% are in the U.S. And I would say that on Spotify as well. But yeah, like, you get listeners. It said on my Spotify Wrapped that I had listeners in like 50 countries. I'm like, that's crazy.
Wow.
Like, so, yeah. So, yeah, I mean,
so
even if it's one listener all the way across the world, yeah. Like, I'm glad I'm making that listener happy.
That's very true. I'm telling you, we got to get some posters up, some Michael Isaac posters. So, some kid in Albania can put them on their wall. You know what I mean? Your number
yeah.
one crush. You got to have it. I'm sure they are. Very, very
That's
cool.
True.
So what's the plan? Do you think more touring? Do you think, more recording? What's the lay of the land as far as Michael Isaac goes? Like, for the next couple of months.
Yeah, so for the next couple of months, I'm going to be in L.A., and I'm going to be, like, doing a lot of writing and hopefully get together a few songs for the next project. I've been playing a lot of sessions with other people, trying to collaborate, doing all that good stuff. In summer, I want to do, like, a big show. And, like, in summer, everybody will be in town, all my high school friends, all my, like, all the kids that are, like, are usually in school. So, yeah, it'd be cool to have everybody come out for a show. And, and then in the fall, I'm moving out to the East Coast, actually, back to school. And so I'm going to be hopefully doing a lot of shows in New York this fall and building more of a fan base out there as well.
Well, there you go. Bi-coastal. I love it. There you go.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised by that either. So very, very cool. Well, your work's fantastic. I'm going to tell you this. I know you already know it. But if you ever wake up one morning and you're like, it's hard to get out of bed. And you're like, I don't feel like doing it. Just know that there's one cat in Southern Florida that is, you know, a big fan. And, you know, you're getting me out of bed because I'm saying, well, if Michael's getting up and doing it, I got to get up and do it too. So very inspiring, very inspiring. Very, very
cool. That really means a lot. Thank you so much.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. And, you know, good luck also with your future endeavors of, you know, helping the world with its mental issues. I watch the news. I think there's a couple out there, Michael. I think there's some out
there,
you know. Oh,
totally.
And that's going to wrap things up for us today, folks. But I do want to say, as a final thought, speaking of the news, you can tell I watched it before we did the show. Get it together, everybody. How about that? How about that? Get it together. Be nice. Be patient. You know, everything's going to be okay. And instead of getting all up in arms, go pick up the new EP. And Michael, I forgot to ask you, the name of the EP. Where do I have it in my notes?
Yeah, so the name
scary
of the
world.
EP is called Forever. Forever is a scary word.
Forever is a scary word. Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
That's a good name. That's a good title, man. That is a good
title. Thank you.
Thank
you
so much. I like that. Very cool. Well, folks,
I scribbled it in my songbook one random day, and then I was like, yeah, that's it.
And there it is. There it is. I love when that happens. I have books. I get these little books. Me and my wife, you know, we'll need something. We'll go to the dollar store and for whatever, you know, magic erasers, whatever. And whenever I'm there, I buy these little packs of these little books because I'm an old man and I carry them in my shirt pocket. When I have an idea, I write it. I don't have a phone. I don't use a phone. So, and not because I'm cool, everybody. I don't use a phone because I'm absent-minded and I set things down and forget it, and phones are expensive. So I have these little pads of paper that I write things down in. I've got boxes and boxes of those that have nothing but painting titles in them. I get it. It's always good to have a title, especially a good one. Hey, folks, that's going to wrap it up for us. Michael's going to, what is it? Today's Thursday. You going out tonight, Michael? What you doing? What's the plan for an LA boy tonight?
I have a songwriting session with one of my friends this evening. Just going to take it easy. Yeah.
Nice. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. Okay, folks. Well, we will see you next time. Have a good one, and have a good weekend, everybody. And remember, here's my additional thought for the weekend. Don't wind up in a Karen video on YouTube. I find them hilarious. But you don't want to be that person that makes the whole plane be bored, you know? Don't drink any booze if you're flying. Just get to where you're going and drink booze then. Anyway, be cool, and we'll talk to everybody next time. Thank you, Michael. You rock. You're awesome.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate it, James.
See you later, everybody. Bye.
This has been pop art painter Jamie Rocks' Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. It has been executive produced by Jamie Rocks, recorded at his studio in Deerfield Beach in South Florida. All rights reserved by Pop Rocks Limited for broadcast on Blog Talk Radio.
Tana Oli, Pop Rocks Radio. Estás escuchando Jamie Rocks de Pop Rocks Radio. Manténganse al tanto.
Hej, det här är Hicks från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rocks Radio med Jamie Rocks.
Blog Talk Radio.